right. Morning, Life Point Church. Hope you guys are doing well. Look, I'm trying to get everything situated. My little OCD self is coming out. Hope you guys are doing well. Enjoying this beautiful sunshine today. I don't know how many of you all are on social media or not. I posted a video just the other day about what it means to be a Christian, right? And what you think about when you hear the word Christian. It brings about a lot of different thoughts for different people. A lot of people that grew up in the church or around that, when they hear Christian right off the bat, they just think about a Christian, someone that claims the name of Jesus. Other people, it's funny, I posted that out on my Instagram account too, the question, and one person from my daughter's dance studio, her name is Christian, and her response was, well, I think that someone's asking me a question. You know, because it's like, hey, Christian, there you go. But I think as a society today, we've totally lost sight of what it means to be a Christian. The word is just thrown around way too easily. And way, way too many people get put into that category. Or at least they claim that they're a part of that category. Yet there's real no evidence of it. Being a Christian means to be like Christ, to be like Jesus. How many of you all see a lot of people truly living like Jesus just in your everyday life? A few people. And I think that's very accurate, yet very sad. Because it's especially the same thing in our churches today. People say that they're Christians. They come to church, but they're not really living a life like Jesus. You know, and I think one of the main reasons that this is the case, because I think a lot of people have a very flawed view of who Jesus really was. As humans, we're great at putting Jesus into this box. And this box is different for different people. Of what they want it to look like or what they think it should look like, they put Jesus in a box. Many times, it's completely false. We have this image of Jesus in our head, and that's what we follow, or that's what we do, or that's what we think of. It's a flawed view. A lot of people don't live like Jesus because it's tough. It's not easy. And believe me, it's not cookie cutter. Not in the least. Many times, it's extremely messy. Very uncomfortable. If you're going to live like Jesus, I promise you, within seconds, you're going to be out of your comfort zone. And if you're never out of your comfort zone, you're probably not being very Christ-like, just to be honest, just to be blunt. Many times we forget who Jesus was, the life that he lived. Think about it. Who were the people that spoke out against Jesus the most? The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the political leaders. That's who spoke out against Jesus. And that's who Jesus spoke out against the most. When you read through the New Testament, whenever Jesus was kind of going at somebody, it was always religious leaders. See, because he came and he brought a new message. He ushered in, as Brian talked about, the kingdom of God. A new covenant between God and his people. And it's a beautiful thing. But it's not comfortable to live like him at all. He was radical. Some people get really frustrated or upset or weirded out. He was a rebel. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the political leaders, man, they accused him of being a drunk. Jesus, right? Son of God, perfect in every way, never sinned, was accused of being a drunk and a glutton. You know why? Because he hung out with drunks and gluttons. Because he was at parties. He was out and about. He was with people that needed him. He was referred to as a friend of some of the most shady people imaginable during that time. Prostitutes, tax collectors, other sinners, as we read. He was accused of associating with those people. He was accused of being a heretic, of blasphemy, because he claimed to be the Son of God, and he brought a new message. Therefore, they said, "You're a heretic." And not only did they say that, but they eventually arrested him, beat him, and killed him because of this. That's being Christ-like. It's not cookie cutter. It's not just kind of going with the flow of religion. It's about something much different, a lot more difficult, that's messy, right? Like that heart. It's beautiful. Super messy. So over the next few weeks, leading up to Easter, man, we're going to be checking out three specific things that we can and that we must do in order to live and to love like Jesus. And we're just looking at three things. Man, we could spend probably the next year going through the New Testament, looking at all the different attributes and characteristics of Jesus, things that we need to implement in our lives and how to do that in each little individual story. We could do that, but I think if we could focus in on these three in our lives, I think it'll make a huge impact on us in our personal lives, on our personal mission that God has uniquely designed for you, as well as our church as a whole. If we can implement these three things, it will aid us in moving forward, right? Like we talked about a few weeks ago, we're moving forward. Your life needs to move forward. Our church needs to move forward. The mission has to move forward, because that's what we're called to do. And I think these three things is really gonna make that impact that we would like to see. And what we're gonna look at is, we're gonna look at how to forgive like Jesus, how to serve like Jesus, and how to connect like Jesus. Again, and I think if we can really implement these things in our lives, we're gonna see some big differences. And today, we're gonna kick things off with what I personally believe to be the most difficult of the three. And I'm sure you guessed that it's to forgive like Jesus. Because forgiveness, not easy. Forgiveness is messy. Forgiveness is uncomfortable. So let me ask, how many of you all have ever done something wrong? D, you had to think about that, my friend. There ain't no thinking. Right. Now, how many of you, that wrong thing that you did, or one of those wrong things that you did, was that you wronged or hurt somebody else in your life? It's me, for sure. All right. How many of you would say that at some point in time, you were in need of forgiveness? That you longed for forgiveness, right? When you come to the end of yourself realizing that you've hurt somebody or that you've done something wrong, like, it is a deep, like, seated, like, need for them to say, "I forgive you." For them to show you that they've forgiven you for that wrong that you did. Like, we need that. And then when they actually do, man, it feels incredible. It's like this huge weight and burden is lifted off your shoulders because you received forgiveness for something that you screwed up in, something that you did wrong. It's a great feeling. It's an incredible feeling to be forgiven. But let's flip this around. How many of you have ever been wronged or hurt by somebody else? Right, naturally, we've all hurt somebody. We've probably all been hurt, right? Now, when this happens, our thoughts and our feelings about forgiveness drastically changes. Right, when we're the one that hurts somebody and we realize it and we want to make that right, we long for them to forgive us. It can consume us that we need forgiveness. Please forgive me. But when someone else has hurt us, we're not longing to forgive them, are we? It's much, much more difficult to extend forgiveness than it is to receive it. Most of the time. And man, this is so important because we have to be able to learn to forgive. Our natural inclinations is to not forgive people that have hurt us because we've been hurt. We've been wronged. Whether it be something just incredibly heinous and hurtful or even the littlest thing. Sometimes it's the littlest things that are the hardest to forgive, right? Like all those drivers from Texas, I really struggle to forgive them. I do, especially on the Washington Expressway. I don't forgive easy. But we need to forgive people. You see, and one of the reasons is because when we hold on to unforgiveness, to anger, and to that hurt, it's not doing anything to that individual or to that group of people. But it's destroying us from the inside. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger towards someone is toxic for our physical well-being, our mental well-being, and our spiritual well-being. When we hold on to that, man, it's like it's this like destructive wall that gets put up, and we can never truly be who God's created us to be. It hinders our connection with God. It hinders our connection with other people. I mean, it affects everything when we hold on to unforgiveness. But when we can actually forgive, man, again, we're set free. Those chains of unforgiveness, that bondage, that prison that we're in, man, is lifted when we actually genuinely forgive somebody. And we can move forward. Like I said, when you do something wrong and someone forgives you, it's like this big burden lifted off your chest. But it's the same thing when you actually are able to forgive somebody. Like genuinely forgive them. Not just like, yeah, I forgive you. Not like, you know, when you're younger and you get in a fight with your sibling and your parents make you apologize. And you're like, I'm sorry. You don't really mean it. You're just saying it. Get out of trouble. But when you genuinely forgive someone, from your heart, from your soul, from everything you have, and you say, you know what you did may not be right. I'm not putting my stamp of approval on it, but I forgive you. It's a burden lifted. You feel lighter. You're not carrying it around anymore. You start seeing things differently. You begin to hear from God more. I mean, it sets you free. But yo, it's not easy, is it? It is tough to forgive. And I know that there are some of you in this room or some that's listening on the podcast that have had some significant hurt in your life. I'm not downplaying that whatsoever. Trust me, I know how ugly people can be, how rough life can get. I spent 12 and a half years working in psychiatric residential treatment. And I saw these beautiful kids come into our facility that have had the most hellacious things done to them that will affect me forever from just hearing their stories and seeing their faces. And I thank God for that, that I got the opportunity to help them, that I got to see behind the curtain of what really goes on in our city. And in this world. So I know that with the percentages of the people that are here, some terrible, terrible things you've probably experienced. But at some point, we've got to get to the place where we can forgive. It's part of healing. It's a part of moving forward. So I want to challenge you this morning as we work through this and learning to forgive like Jesus. I want to challenge you to truly consider forgiveness. I don't expect everyone in here after we leave out and be like, yep, that's right, I'm going to forgive like Jesus and just start forgiving everybody, because it's not going to be that simple. It's going to be a journey. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a fight, tooth and nail fight. But I want you to consider forgiveness. And you may be thinking, well, that's great. This person doesn't deserve it. They do not deserve my forgiveness. And you know what? You're probably right. Probably right. They probably don't deserve your forgiveness. But that's the beauty of forgiving like Jesus. Because he forgives when people don't deserve it. It's the beauty of it. I have been forgiven by the creator of all things, and I don't deserve it. Not one bit. But he forgives me. So I want you to consider forgiveness today. You see, Jesus is the perfect, perfect example of forgiveness. Unmerited, undeserving forgiveness. I mean, just think about it. When we think about how did Jesus forgive, the thing that always comes to my mind right off the bat is his words from the cross, right? Jesus, we already said he was perfect, loving, served, right? He healed the sick. He performed miracle after miracle. He served. He fed people that were in need. He was perfect in every way. Yet he was arrested, beaten, cussed at, made fun of, spit on, and eventually nailed to a cross. All things he didn't deserve. At the hands of men. And what does he say from the cross? Luke 23:34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Think about that. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard that over and over and over. I've been in church since I was, you know, in the nursery. Heard that scripture over and over and over again. But really think about that. That is so, so powerful. Father, forgive them. While he's nailed to a cross, accused, beaten, forgive them. It's so, so powerful. He's an example for us. When I think of those incredibly heinous things that have been done to people, I mean, that's there. That's one of those. That's not someone riding your bumper and then cutting you off, right? We're talking some serious stuff. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Right in the middle of it, forgive them. You see, Jesus, when he taught his disciples, he was teaching them and teaching us how to pray. We see this as well. Matthew 6:12 and then 14 and 15, he says, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." An example of forgiveness, right? Then he goes on to say, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." It's an example of how powerful forgiveness is, how important forgiveness is. You see, if we're unwilling to forgive others, basically what we're doing is we're denying our common ground as people. See, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done, it doesn't matter. One common ground we all have is we're all screwed up. We all have flaws. None of us are perfect. None of us, not a single one, especially not me. We're all flawed. And we're in need of forgiveness. It's honestly our greatest need as humans is forgiveness, is restoration, to be made whole again. And God sent his son for that purpose, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be connected once again. So if we're willing to receive his forgiveness, we have to be willing to extend it to other people. If not, we're denying that common ground. We have to be willing to forgive. It's important. There's really no getting away from it if we're going to live like Jesus. If we're going to be a Christian, we've got to learn to forgive like Jesus. So how do we do that, right? Not simple. It's not easy. If I was sitting out there listening to a knucklehead up here talking about forgiveness, I'd be like, yeah, right. Easier said than done. And it's tough. But we have to do it. It's so important. So how do we actually live and love like Jesus when it comes to forgiveness? Well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to pray for those who've wronged you. I want you to pray for those people that have wronged you, that have hurt you. Again, not easy. It's incredible from experience. It's incredibly hard to pray for someone that hurt you. It's very hard. But see, if we're going to live like Jesus, love like Jesus, it's something that we have to do. And I don't mean like pray for them like, Father, you know, bring your wrath on them. No loopholes here. Like, pray positive things over them. Pray for God to help you to forgive them. We're going to pray for those who've wronged us. Again, Jesus modeled that from the cross. Father, forgive them. That's what he's praying. God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then again, we see this on Jesus' most famous sermon, right? The Sermon on the Mount. So much wisdom in that. Just incredible, incredible things. But really what the Sermon on the Mount is again, it's us seeing Jesus usher in the new covenant, a new way. See, there was this law of Moses that was this list of do's and don'ts, and we got to do this. I'm currently listening through the Old Testament right now, and it is, as Mike would say, it's buck wild. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, and I'm so thankful. As I listen to that, I'm so thankful for Jesus because it makes us just connected to God through him, and we're forgiven. But there's a ton in the law of Moses of things that you have to do, things to not do, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And Jesus is coming in and saying, hey, I'm bringing in a new way. Because see, you can't fulfill the law. It's impossible. So I'm going to come and I'm going to pay that price. I'm going to be that substitution for you. I'm going to take that on so that you can be set free and you can be restored. That's what it's about. But see, in the law, and what Jesus grew up in, the culture was, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? Someone plucks out your eye, you go pluck theirs out. It's only fair. Someone knocks out your tooth, you go knock theirs out. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Real simple. But Jesus said, no, I'm bringing a new way. Check this out. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, he says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Let me read that again in case you didn't hear it. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who harm you. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who have wronged you. Pray for those who continually wrong you. We're going to pray for those people. Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. I don't want to do either. Most of the time. That's why we need Christ. But that's what we're called to do. If we're going to live and love like Jesus, we've got to pray for those people. And we've got to ask for God's help to allow us to be able to forgive that person. And I'm sitting here speaking from experience. You see, when we look through Jesus' teachings and we look at how he lived, there's really no getting away from it. We have to be willing to forgive, and we have to pray for those individuals. And when I think back over my life, there are plenty of people that have wronged me. There's some that it's a reoccurring situation where I need to pray for them and ask God to help me forgive them. Because I forgive them in this moment, and then I get moving down the road, and then I start thinking about it again. Then I get a little bitter, and I get a little angry. I might say a few things, and then I'm like, okay, I've really, this forgiveness thing is a journey. It's not a one and done kind of thing. There's several people in my life where I've had to do that. I can think of one individual that was a business partner with my father-in-law that I've known for a long time, and I'm not going to name names in case y'all know him, but I feel like he wronged me really significantly in a time of that I'm in need. I feel like he wronged my family multiple times. I feel like he wronged my mother-in-law, and I'm very protective of her. And I've been super bitter about it and harbored and carried that anger. And it did nothing to him. Nothing. He probably doesn't even know. But it eats me up. And the crazy thing is, one of his stores is right beside my daughter's dance studio. So I get to see it every day. And I can remember about a year ago, I was sitting waiting for Millie to come out, and God was just convicting me. Like, you are holding on to this anger, and it's stupid. It's ridiculous. You've got to forgive him. You've got to. And I remember, like, thinking of all the reasons why I shouldn't, right? Sitting there looking at the store, like, no, because of this, because of this, because of this. And it's like, no, I need to forgive. And I sat there in that parking lot and had a conversation with God, and I prayed for him. And I prayed for myself to let it go and for God to help me with that. We've got to pray for those people that hurt us. And again, I know that's not easy. And it's a journey. Give yourself some grace, but take those steps to move forward, to be set free. Because I promise you, when you're harboring anger and hurt and you don't deal with it, you're never moving forward. You're going to be stuck, stagnant. You're going to hear me talk about this over and over and over again, but we got to move forward. And if we have anger and unforgiveness in our heart, we're not moving forward. We might be standing still. And if you were here a few weeks ago, if we're standing still, what are we really doing? Anybody? Thank you. Moving backwards. It was not rhetorical. Thank you. We're moving backwards. So we've got to move forward. The second thing that we see in order to forgive like Jesus is that we need to make sure that we put everything into perspective. Understanding that we have to forgive as we've been forgiven. We have to be able to forgive as we've been forgiven. We have to always remember that we ourselves were and are and will be in need of forgiveness. And we've received that through Jesus. And if we're willing to receive something, we need to be able to extend it. So therefore, we need to be able to forgive as we've been forgiven. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Hey, if we could just take that right there, the world would be a different place. Churches would be a different place. More people would come to know Christ, I promise you. Anyways, another message for another day. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. And we find this, if you read through the New Testament, you're going to see this over and over and over again. This concept of forgive others just as God has forgiven you. How selfish of us to say, thank you, God, for forgiving us, but never be willing to forgive somebody. How selfish. Not easy, but selfish. You see, I try to keep it front and center for you guys, but I'm a mess at times. I'm far from perfect. And when I actually sit back and think of my life, think about all the people and times that I've been wronged or hurt, it doesn't even compare to the number of times that I've hurt God, that I've wronged God, that I've done things Andy's way and not done things the way that God would want me to do them. Times that I've been selfish, times that I've gone my own journey, times that I said, I'm just gonna do this just because that's what Andy wants. Doesn't even compare. And I don't deserve forgiveness. Especially not from the creator of all things, from the King of Kings, right? The Lord of Lords, our Savior. I don't deserve his forgiveness, yet he gives it to me. He extends his mercy and his grace, and he pours that out on me, and he forgives me over and over. And if he did that for me, then how in the world can I not forgive somebody else? Don't ever forget your need for a Savior. I think if you've been in church for any length of time, or you've been a believer for a long time, it becomes words, unfortunately. But I promise you, please, please don't ever forget your need for a Savior. How screwed up you are. And how much you need that forgiveness. And because you need that, and don't deserve it, but received it, we have to be willing to extend it to other people. So we're going to forgive as you've been forgiven. And finally, the last thing that we see, in order for us to forgive like Jesus, to live and love like him, we're going to do all this in love. Everything that we do is going to be done in love, with pure motives, with a pure heart. With a pure heart, we're going to pray for the people that have hurt us. In love, we're going to forgive as we have been forgiving. We're going to do it with a loving heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. We just read 13, right? It's talking about forgive as God has forgiven you. And verse 14, the next verse says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on love. See, when you operate from love, from pure motives, forgiving becomes a little easier. A little bit. It's still tough. But when you begin to understand, I'm flawed, I'm not perfect, I've done some things, yet God has forgiven me. And I'm supposed to be like Jesus. That's what I'm called to be, is to live like him. He's our example. I'm supposed to reflect his life, so I need to forgive. And when we can operate from love, man, it's a game changer. I'm sure we've all heard stories of crazy love that led to forgiveness. Me and Jim were talking about some of those the other day. Some people that we know in our lives, or just stories that we've heard. I mean, things like, you know, somebody, I mean, someone's kid or parent was hit by a drunk driver or murdered or whatever it may be. And that family saying, you know what, my heart is broken. You took something from me that I'll never get, but I forgive you, and I'm going to pray for you. I release that. That's crazy. That is absolutely insane. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. And that's what Jesus did. As he himself was being killed, hung on a cross, he looked at all his accusers, every single one of them that put a whip to a back, to the thorns on his head, to nails in his hands and his feet. He said, God, forgive them. Forgive them. And that can only be done through love. So we're going to pray for those who hurt us. We're going to forgive like we've been forgiven, never forgetting our need for a Savior. We're going to do that in love. And then when we can start to do that, we'll become more like Christ. We'll become true imitators of Jesus. We'll be more Christians than what the world is currently seeing. And I promise you that'll help us to move forward. It'll help you as an individual to move forward. It's going to help you in your marriage, or as a parent, or as a friend, or as a son or a daughter, or a grandparent, to be able to move forward and to love better and to reflect the life of Jesus, which is very infectious. So today, commit to being more of a Christian and living and loving like Jesus through forgiveness. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning just so incredibly thankful for your forgiveness. For the fact that you extend that to us. Not only extend it, but that you sent your son to die on the cross, to take on our shame, our guilt, and our sin in our rightful place, God, so that we could be forgiven. May we never take that for granted. And God, we are so thankful that you forgive us. And today, God, I pray that you would help us to do the same, to follow your lead and become more forgiving as people, more loving as people. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never given your heart and your life to Jesus. Maybe it's because the people that you've seen that claim the name of Christ are far from living like him. But if you're here this morning, you've never stepped over that line of faith, please understand that God loves you so much. That he is willing to forgive you. He wants to be connected to you. He wants you to have all that he's created you to have and do all the things he created you to do, to be set free. That's why he sent his son. That's how much he loved you. And if that's you this morning, you're ready to receive his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace that he's extending out. Scripture says that if you confess with your heart, or confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, that you'll be saved. All you have to do is receive that gift. Confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect, and that you need a Savior. And believe that Jesus is that. He is who he says he is, the Son of God. And that his work on the cross was more than sufficient. But if that's you, you just call out to God however he leads. Just to confess and believe. But maybe you're here this morning and You are a Christ follower. You've given your heart to Jesus. You have major unforgiveness in your life. You're holding on to it. I'm telling you today, consider forgiveness. Doesn't make sense. It's illogical. We like the thought of eye for an eye. But Jesus said, I'm ushering in something new. He said, don't hate your enemy, love them. Pray for them. What if I treated you that way? I mean, think about that. What if God treated us the way we deserved? No, thank you. But he doesn't. Mercy, grace, love. That's our good God. So what would it look like if we did the same? How would the lives within your life and your family's life change if you extended forgiveness? More forgiveness, more love. What would your work look like? Your community? What would our church look like if we operated out of forgiveness and love as opposed to judgment, unforgiveness, bad mouthing, pointing the finger? I want to encourage you this morning. Pray for those who've wronged you. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Maybe it's you need to forgive yourself. It's okay to pray for yourself. Pray for God to help you forgive, whether it be yourself or whoever. You can't do that in your strength, but you can in His. That's the beauty of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to close this in prayer. Jared and the team are going to play a song. And while they do that, you just do business with God. Whatever it is He's speaking to you, you just do business with Him today. God, again, we thank You for Your mercy and love. God, we thank You so much for forgiving us. God, I thank You for forgiving me for my flaws and my failures. God, may we be a church that is more like You. May we step outside the box, this man-made box that we've put You in. And may we love radically. May we forgive those who've wronged us. God, thank You for Your forgiveness. I pray for each person that's here, Lord, that You would speak to them, that You would heal their broken hearts, heal that hurt, heal that pain, that area that they're holding on to, that unforgiveness. God, I pray that You would heal that. God, I pray that You would work through them to be able to truly forgive so that they could be set free. Because You never intended us to be in bondage or to be held back by anything like that, God. So may we let that go.